Welcome in, everyone, to the Talking Tide podcast on the Ryer on YouTube channel. I'm Chase Goodbread, the sports columnist with the Tuscaloosa News, along with Travis Ryer. Be sure to check out Ryer on YouTube. Like it, subscribe it, hit that notification bell, all that stuff. Fantastic content on the Ryer on YouTube channel. Talking Tide coming at you with the midweek edition as we preview the Crimson Tide's upcoming road contest at Missouri. We'll look at it from top to bottom. We will then, of course, skip around the SEC on the back end of the show. But first, Travis, Alabama coming in 4-1, Missouri coming in unbeaten at 5-0, ranked versus ranked, a big game. You know, Eli Drinkwitz is going to have that offense ready to rock. Missouri, as usual, scored a lot of points and got the best running back in the SEC, I think, bar none, and Ahmad Hardy. Should be a pretty big challenge for Alabama.
Yeah. Do you trust this Alabama defense yet? Or do you think it's going to be a continuation of at least one or two explosive plays on Saturday before maybe they settle in and get their legs? It's problematic more so on the road if you give those up than it was maybe last week when Vanderbilt hit you for a couple. You really get that early crowd, which should help Alabama, right? 11 a.m. local kickoff time. If I'm going into that situation knowing that fan base, Missouri is going to be amped up as much as it is, give me that 11 a.m. And I know from a media perspective, we've always liked those 11 a.m.s.
Yes. Yeah, no question. I'll take that 11 a.m. kickoff all day long. Of course, the broadcast will be on ABC. But, yeah, the rare 11 a.m. road kickoff for Alabama, Travis, affords yours truly the unusual opportunity to run the streets both Friday night and Saturday night.
Well, and it means you may not go to sleep, you know, for a couple days. You know, I mean, you may just go straight to the ballpark Saturday, you know, and just crank that thing up.
Could be a little weary on Sunday. We'll see what happens. We fly in, myself and the intrepid Colin Gay, we fly into St. Louis on Friday afternoon, staying at a hotel, unfortunately, more than an hour outside of Columbia. That's what it takes.
That's just a challenge.
Practice. Yeah.
That's just a challenge to Goodbread. Well, that's the way he takes that, you know?
We'll make it work, you know?
You know, I guess the last time Alabama was there was the COVID season, right? The season opener in 2020. Yeah. I did attend that game out in Como and went the St. Louis to Como route. That was surreal in a lot of different ways because you had the limitations with the crowd and you opened the season in Columbia, Missouri, Alabama, very impressive in that game. We'll see if Alabama can keep this thing going against Missouri too, because Chase, the games haven't been all that competitive really, even a year ago in Tuscaloosa.
No, you're right, and you mentioned at the top, is Alabama's defense going to be able to corral this Missouri offense? I'll say this, I'm still circling around the weekly good spread pick of the week, but I've got it narrowed down to three, Travis, and one of my three is that over 52.5 for that Alabama-Missouri game. I think that thing's going over. I don't see Missouri's defense stopping Alabama's offense, and I think Missouri is going to ring up a few points. So, I think 52.5 plus looks good to me.
You know, if I told you at the end of last year you felt like Missouri could hang in a shootout with Alabama, or even if both these teams were going to engage in a shootout with everything they lost – between the quarterback position, and Missouri lost two really good wide receivers in Weiss and Burden. Right. You know, Brady Cook was a dependable guy at the quarterback position. But Drink, he does. He kind of reloads that thing now, and he's not afraid to hit that portal. That's where he's found Hardy here. Hardy, a 1,300-yard back at ULM a year ago. And kind of like Ole Miss, too. We think of these teams like Missouri and Ole Miss, we think of shootouts. So you automatically think, well, they're going to throw it around a good bit. And Missouri will throw the football. But just like Ole Miss, at the end of the day, Lane wants to run the ball. Now, he wants to run it at tempo. And Drink wants to run it too.
Drink likes to run it, no doubt about it. Bo Prabula at the quarterback, a transfer himself, has been pretty sharp for the Tigers as well. So, yeah, we'll stay with the Alabama defense. That's where you started us off. I think it's a pretty big challenge. I think with the way Alabama played against really both Vanderbilt and Georgia, especially in the second half, things are looking better for Kane Womack's defense. There's no question about it. But the road factor, I think, remains a concern. I think the run fits remain a bit of a concern. I know they cleaned it up in the second half against Vanderbilt. They cleaned it up the last three quarters, as a matter of fact. But I think that's still a concern if you're Kane Womack. But I do think Alabama is going to win this game. I think at the end of the day, Ty Simpson is going to be able to have his way and get it done.
Yeah, I think if it comes down to one of these two quarterbacks being put in the position of maybe having to win the game, I mean, Ty Simpson is where I'm going to go. And Prabula, as you said, has been very good. He's been exactly what Missouri needs. Missouri had sort of a two-quarterback thing going with Sam Horn also in that mix, but he went down in the season opener with a leg injury. But Prabula is more than capable on his own. But it's going to start, I'm just telling you, probably the first play on Saturday for the Alabama defense is going to be outside zone, Damon Hardy.
Yeah.
And they're going to check right from the outset to see if this front seven and this secondary can fit a run. And Hardy, he doesn't strike me as sort of a 4-3 guy. You know, he kind of looks a little bit like Jam Miller in physical stature. But yards after contact for – Yak is going to mean a couple of different things, I think, on Saturday, Chase, to these two offenses. I think for Missouri, it's going to mean yards after contact, because if Hardy's able to maintain that sort of ridiculous numbers he's had after the first contact, that's going to be tough for Alabama. I think for Alabama offensively, it might be more about yards after catch, between the different things they like to do in the passing game.
Yeah, you may have heard Kalen DeBoer comment earlier this week that from what they've seen and the numbers they're looking at, Hardy averages a missed tackle forced, they call it, every other carry.
Yeah.
Every other carry, somebody's whiffing on him. So it can make you dangerous, especially if you're out in space on the perimeter and maybe there's only one guy with a shot, right?
It is. You got to redirect this guy too. I mean, if you give him straight line runs into your second level, that first guy at that point isn't going to make that tackle. He's really good. I'm not going to say Derrick Henry like, but when I've watched him, he's really good with that offhand. If he's got the ball on his right, he'll feed you that left, or he'll just straight up try to sling people with that left arm, kind of like a Derrick Henry. So you're going to have to bring it. Even if you fit the run, you know, you're going to still want to get a couple of guys there, because he can be tough to bring down, Ahmad Hardy.
What jumps out to me with him is his balance. And you mentioned maybe a little bit of a similarity between him and Miller. To me, the biggest difference between Hardy and Miller is balance. Both physical, strong backs. They'll both take it straight up in the hole and get what they can. Miller, I think, sometimes gets off balance and you know, he'll get extra yards after contact, but it might be 2 yards stumbling forward. Hardy, on the other hand, his balance is so good that when you hit him, he's more that type of back that'll bounce off of that contact and maintain his feet a little bit better.
He is just very impressive. You know, you always wonder about some of these guys when they take that next step up from maybe the group of five, group of four, whatever it is now, to the P4 level, and it hasn't been much of a problem. One thing they don't do with him a lot is throw him the football, though, right? I mean, if he's going to touch it, it's probably going to be when it's handed to him. They'll line him up directly behind Prabula, kind of a pistol look that makes you stay balanced because he's not offset. And it also gives him probably better vision, and he's also going to get north-south very quickly. Now, Jamal Roberts is no walk in the park either. His running mate there in the backfield, both those guys are averaging over 7 yards per carry, Chase, and Roberts has actually caught it 6 times in 5 games for 71 yards. and a touchdown. So haven't really thrown it to the backs a lot. They really like their tight end, Brett Norfleet, a guy to certainly watch in the red zone to go along with Kevin Coleman at the wide receiver position, the transfer from Mississippi State. But they're plenty good enough across the board, not just in terms of Hardy, you know, to sustain drives. They're kind of like Vanderbilt too. I think they come in converting about 61-62% of their third downs. So they haven't been easy to get off the field. Their touchdown conversion rate is in the mid 70s, a little bit better than Alabama's. So, you know, it is going to take you back to the question of who exactly has Missouri played to this point. I will grant you that, if that is sort of your stance on, we're finally going to learn a lot more about the Missouri Tigers on Saturday.
We will, no question. You mentioned Kevin Coleman, the wide receiver, has had a really good year for Mizzou, and the fact that they don't throw it to Hardy a ton. Tell you who they do throw it to, third and short, when they got, or third and medium, when they're just trying to move the sticks, they like to go to Coleman. He's got 39 catches on the year, which is twice as many as anybody else on the team. He doesn't average a ton of yardage. I think he's like 9.8, 9.9 per catch, Travis. But he plays in that slot role primarily for Missouri. And so he's the guy who's going to be who they're going to be looking for to get open quick in that third and short to third and medium range, and kind of dink and dunk with him and extend drives with him, which makes it a pretty big game for a Deshaun Jones.
It does, or whoever rotates in there, right, at the Husky position. Who knows? Maybe it'll be Red Morgan some this week too. But absolutely, Marquise Johnson, to your point, is more of the yards per catch guy. He's averaging about 15.3 on 18 grabs. So they've got some nice complementary pieces. And you know, I said this on Second Helping with Brent Beard last night. It's going to be a big Saturday for Watch the Tight End Guy. You know who Watch the Tight End Guy is, right? In every stadium, at every game, every week, there's always that guy or gal that before the snap, watch the tight end, watch the tight end. That's Brett Norfleet this week, because he can hurt you. He can really hurt you. He's not a big yards per catch guy either. But again, you like that sort of receptions to touchdown ratio that he comes in with.
Watch the tight end guy. We'll say that 27 times in a game, and three times a game, he'll be right. He'll be crowing about those three, right? I told you that tight end is going to be open.
He's a first cousin of Holden guy. He yells Holden every play.
Yeah, no doubt about it. All right, how about that Alabama offense, Travis, coming off a really strong performance against Vanderbilt offensively? I know Ryan Grubb said he was not thrilled with what Alabama did in the red zone against the Commodores, and he was right about that. They had to settle for too many field goal tries, but they did do a good job of moving the football. Ty Simpson, another strong game. The running game kind of got on track a little bit for a change. So a lot of positive signs with the Alabama offense coming out of this Vanderbilt game.
There are, you know, the negative plays early in possessions. You know, there were some plus territory things in general that I thought could have been better, not just from an execution standpoint, but maybe in terms of what was dialed up on some certain plays, like that speed option that we talked about earlier in the week, and maybe some other things. Look, it's all great as long as it works, right? But here's what I like. What we've seen so far this season, if DeBoer and our Grubb highlight something early in the week, typically that Saturday we've seen a pretty good bit of improvement. And this week it's obviously the red zone that's being talked about. But after the Florida State game, I mean, Grubb basically said, you know, Simpson's got to do a better job of staying in there, you know, and giving things a chance and being more of a distributor. And he seemingly took that to heart, and we saw improvement in that area. So running the football, right? After the Georgia game, what did Kalen say? Felt like they were really close on some runs, and they go into the Vanderbilt game and they hit those runs more than they did against Georgia. So maybe it will be red zone this week. I think it's going to be very, very important, because you would think, like I said earlier, Missouri's touchdown conversion rate isn't astronomical for a team that runs the football as well as they do. Typically teams that run for 300 a game, are usually high touchdown conversion rate teams. They haven't been that team necessarily. But yeah, for the Alabama offense, that's going to be the matchup we probably don't talk about enough because of Hardy versus this Alabama defense. But, you know, Missouri hasn't given up 300 total yards of offense in a game yet.
Yeah.
This season. So we're going to find out about that Missouri defense too.
We will for sure. I asked Ryan Grubb on Monday about how the receivers and tight ends are blocking in the running game. Coming out of Vanderbilt, obviously they improved in that respect. But those are the blocks that spring the big ones, Travis. And I thought his answer to that question was a little tepid. You know, he said, we're getting there. Clearly they're not where he wants them to be from a blocking standpoint out on the perimeter with the receivers and the tight ends. As good as Alabama ran the ball against Vanderbilt, I don't think the tight ends blocked especially well against the Commodores. So that's something to watch as well. If Alabama's going to sustain, let's say 150 team total rushing yards against this Missouri defense, they're going to need some more, I think, on the perimeter with the blocks outside.
And part of that's going to be, how does Missouri go about defending Alabama? You know, we've seen Georgia, we saw it from Vanderbilt, 2-3 safeties deep at times because you're worried about these wide receivers in this passing game taking the top off or hitting you for explosive plays. But all Alabama has really done with that is just hit that dig, that deep crosser in front of those deeper safeties. They've had a lot of success in the middle of the field. Alabama showed you last week, more so than in previous weeks, that if you stay softer in your coverages, they are going to be good enough in time to run the football against those looks. They were able to do it last week. What type of message, if there was a message sent at all, to Missouri in terms of how they might go about it with Alabama this week?
Defensively for the Tigers, a couple names to note. Josiah Trotter, the leading tackler on the team. Linebacker, 28 stops, son of former Eagles Pro Bowler Jeremiah Trotter. He's got an older brother who played. That Trotter family, they like to play linebacker, Travis. They're all linebackers in that family.
They trot him out there, so to speak. No doubt about it. Yeah, he is a very good tackler. Here's an interesting guy to me, Jalen Catalan. I mean, this is another one of these guys. He's got to be 34 years old at this point. The safety from Missouri, who started at Arkansas. I want to say that was around COVID when he started at Arkansas. Really good young player, had some injuries, ended up at Texas. I think he will have played against Alabama at three different schools after Saturday. I think he'll go Arkansas, Texas, Missouri on Saturday. So I'll say this, boy, traditionally Missouri linebackers, inside linebackers, kind of like Arkansas linebackers from years past. You kind of wondered who was adding up the tackles maybe sometimes, but a guy like Nick Bolton now, with the Kansas City Chiefs, really good linebacker 4 or 5 years ago for Missouri. So you anticipate, you know, those guys making it tougher on you, and especially those running backs.
Usually Missouri has an edge rusher that'll put some heat on the quarterback too. I mean, it's pretty long line of good Missouri pass rushers through the years.
Yep.
Zion Young, probably one to watch in that regard. This season, he's got a couple of sacks for Missouri so far. But yeah, you're right about Catalan. I did a little note on him. He's 24 years old now. His true freshman year at Arkansas was 2019. He got a degree from Arkansas in 2022.
Yeah.
Then he goes to Texas, and then he went to UNLV for a year. Now he's at Missouri. The way he did it was he got a standard red shirt. He got a medical red shirt and a COVID year.
The COVID. Yeah.
So yeah, 7 year player.
Well, I mean, Diego's 24, I believe, and maybe going to play again when he's 25. You just keep keep filing injunctions anymore. You know, I mean, you try to get those because it seems like it's working for everybody right now.
If you're Diego, staying in school is where the money's at.
That's for most of these guys. Yeah. Maybe for Quinn Ewers last year. Carson Beck is the prime example of that. I mean, between last year and this year, It's definitely where the money's at for Carson Beck. Unknown Damone, your guy here, and we appreciate everyone chiming in here and showing up for us here in the show chat. He wants a post to Caden Proctor coming out of the gate. A little play action, a little deep play action to Jam Miller, and then hit the big man on the post right down the middle, Chase. That's your guy, Unknown Damone.
Going to be fun to see if Proctor is part of that offensive game plan beyond just that left tackle spot once again. I the short yardage running, I could take a little more of that. I don't know how much I'd like to see Alabama throwing it to him, but I can handle another carry or two on a third and one, Travis.
Well, he's got a better catch to drop ratio than Ryan Williams right now. Yes, so
yeah.
Oh, some of the fans are still not going to leave that Ryan Williams drops thing alone, are they? I mean, I get it. I mean, it's been a problem, but I tweeted this earlier or X'd it, whatever it is. You know, you remember this too. Julio Jones would drop one a game.
One a game.
I mean, he had them, you know, but the revisionist history historians in us, we don't seem to recall those as well, but
What I noticed about that, Travis, was when Julio would drop one a game, and as to my recollection, it was usually the first ball they threw to him.
Yep, it was always early, and then it was hell to pay. It seemed to it seemed to center him or something, you know, like focus him to rest of the game. It was going to be the real deal, Julio. But I think maybe what we're going to learn as much about with these two football teams on Saturday, Chase, is that Missouri defense. That's kind of what I keep going back to. And, you know, what do we really know about Missouri defensively, and what will we learn about it going against this Alabama offense?
Yes. Like you said, the schedule for Missouri's certainly been a little soft, and it's typical that Missouri doesn't play a ton of non-conference foes that really – will straighten your spine. They did. They played Kansas as a Power League non-conference game. They took care of the Jayhawks. But you know, it's been a light schedule for Missouri so far. This will definitely be the toughest challenge they've seen yet. Toughest challenge on both sides of the ball. But yeah, how are they going to do defensively against an Alabama offense that really seems to be coming into its own with Ty Simpson? Seeing windows, making multiple reads, coming off of early reads, hitting secondary reads. I mean, Ty Simpson is seeing the field really well right now. It's a dangerous thing for any defense to come up on.
You know, in Missouri, what we know is traditionally they've been pretty disruptive on the defensive side of the ball. And
yeah, one gap.
Going back to Blake Baker, you see what he's doing at LSU now, you know, after making that move from Missouri to LSU as the Tigers defensive coordinator. Missouri threw five games this season, 33 tackles for loss. You know, that's about 6.5 a game. That's a respectable number. Sacks wise, really got after Lenore Sellers in that South Carolina win. A couple, 3 weeks ago, sacked him five times. Otherwise, a couple sacks a game against the likes of Central Arkansas, Kansas, Louisiana, and UMass their last time out. So, and you think about it from a schedule perspective, you couldn't have teams that are almost as more polar opposite as Alabama, Missouri, because the last 2 weeks for Missouri, it's been UMass bye week. For Alabama, it was Georgia on the road, and then really a four-quarter game against Vanderbilt last week. I still don't know if that hurts or helps a team when they go, you know, 3 weeks without really being pushed, because South Carolina did push Missouri deep into that game and actually had a chance to win there in Como.
What do you think of Drink? What do you think of that Eli Drinkwitz as a coach?
I think he's kind of Dollar General Steve Spurrier in some ways.
Right.
The visor from the visor. And then he's chatty. You know, he's chirpy. He likes to have fun, which I enjoy that because there's not enough of that in the SEC coaching ranks right now. I mean, we used to have characters. Now we've got a bunch of guys with character, you know, so it's a little different, I think, from that standpoint. But I mean, it's kind of inarguable at this point that he's done a super job. I thought a couple of years ago when Missouri was struggling, the AD came out and gave him a raise and extended him. And this was not a good year for Missouri a few years ago when they did this. I thought to myself, either they really know what they've got in this guy, or he's got a hell of an agent who maybe as that season wore on, started to put out there, hey, he's getting some bites. But based on the season that we were talking about, it wouldn't have seemed as likely. But it's, hey, whatever the case, it's paid off in Missouri with Drink.
You know, the press conferences I like. I mean, he's definitely forthcoming in those. He's as much of a straight shooter in press conferences as there is in the league. What I don't like about him, though, Travis, you mentioned he's chatty. Yeah, he's chatty with the other team's players.
Yeah, you know, he
from the sideline, which I'm not a big fan of.
No, I'm not a big fan of that. Apparently, he was chatty today with Kalen, right? When asking him if he was going to wear the black hoodie of death.
Yeah, I wasn't on the call, but the SEC media teleconference, which happens every Wednesday, each coach gets on with the media for 10 minutes, kind of in succession. They go in the same order every week, and it just so happens that Drink is right before DeBoer. And from what I understand, yeah, Drink decided to stay on the line after his time was up. And then when DeBoer came on the line, he said, hey, are you going to put that, black hoodie of death on us this week?
Oh, Drink. Hey, we got a Bama fan in here. It's kind of a Doug Downer here. He says, this is Tony T 2796 says, the way the schedule fell this year and Mizzou's strength is Alabama's weakness. I have a feeling this will be Alabama's second loss. He hopes he's wrong. Yeah. Not feeling it, Tony.
It should be tight. Alabama's favored by 2.5. I think it was 3.5 at the beginning of the week. I think I picked this game 31-23 Alabama, but there's no reason to think it won't be tight, Travis.
The SEC right now, it's like four wides coming out of turn four at Talladega, and you're just waiting for the big one. And who all is it going to take out? That's what it feels like. And it's every week it feels that way. Like this week, you've got a pretty loaded slate, which I know we're going to touch on here in a minute. You look at each of the three television windows on Saturday in the SEC and the potential for losers coming out of each of those windows. It could be a hell of a pile up by 11 p.m. Central Saturday night.
No question. And it's week after week. I mean,
every week.
You're Alabama, you go to Missouri this week, you survive. Great. Turn around. Now you're catching Tennessee at home. Then you're going on the road to Williams-Brice to take on a South Carolina team that could be trouble. It's just one after another. You got LSU and Oklahoma beyond that. It's a rough go, and I don't think – and we touched on this on the Sunday Nighter. I don't see a dominant team in the league right now at all, but I do see a league that looks pretty damn deep.
It is deep, and that makes it even more fun on a weekly basis, because you have to tune into just about every game. I agree with you. Just about every team in the league, when you really look at them, you go, wow, there's maybe a glaring weakness in some aspect of every team, even the teams right now that we're seeing. You know, that's why it kind of surprises me when I look at the rankings and I see Ole Miss ranked fourth in the country, or I see Oklahoma ranked sixth, you know. You know, those are some lofty rankings, but I think it's also indicative of the sport in general this year. I don't think it's just an SEC thing, Chase. I think
right
now everybody loves Ohio State. I think that's primarily because of the defense. Now, look, offensively, those receivers, Julian Sain, can get it to them enough probably. But when we get to the playoff, first of all, the 12 that get in, you know, 6 through 12 won't really surprise me much regardless, I don't think. Yeah. And then how that whole thing shakes out in terms of getting us to a champion probably won't either. I mean, Texas A&M right now is ranked 5th in the country, and I will not be surprised if Florida goes out to College Station this weekend and gets that done.
Yeah, it could happen. It could happen. I do like A&M's defense. I don't know about the offense. Like you said, no matter what team in the league you want to point to, you can find a flaw or two. So it's going to be fun to see how this works out. The Talking Tide podcast on the Ryer on YouTube channel. Moving on, want to thank our viewers and listeners for checking in here on the Midweeker. and ask you to contribute to Parker Covers Alabama, a 501c3 nonprofit supporting wheelchaired Alabama residents. You can donate at parkercoversalabama.com, named in honor of Mike Parker, friend of Travis's, friend of mine, who we lost earlier this year. He's in a wheelchair for 20 years, was Mike Parker. And a lot of determination, a lot of spirit, a lot of fight. And we know Mike would like what we're trying to do with this nonprofit. ParkerCoversAlabama.com. All right, the Talking Tide podcast on the Ryer on YouTube channel. Now Travis turns to the schedule in the SEC. Let's run this down really quickly. You got Ole Miss hosting Washington State. That was a hastily scheduled game. Travis, Washington State picked up Ole Miss when the Pac-12 blew up and they didn't have anybody to put on their schedule. Ole Miss lost a game with Wake Forest. Wake bought out of a game with Ole Miss, and that's how Ole Miss ended up with an opening. So you got the Cougars coming in, Travis, as 33-point underdogs to Ole Miss. Big, big number right there. Oklahoma at Texas, the Red River rivalry going down. Of course, that's at the Cotton Bowl in Dallas. OU comes in ranked 6th in the country. Texas 3-2 on the year. Arkansas at Tennessee. Travis, over under on that one, 69. Ton of points going to be thrown up, say the odds makers. And that one won't surprise me if that goes over, even with that high number.
That line with Petrino. Nice.
Go ahead. Yeah. Oh, yes. Yes. Florida at Texas A&M. You mentioned that game a minute ago. Georgia at Auburn, the oldest rivalry in the South. South Carolina at LSU. Where do you want to begin with all that?
Yes. Boy, we could do a whole nother show on that that slate. But, you know, I go back to Florida at Texas A&M because Florida did look like a different team coming off that bye week, and they added Dallas Wilson, the 5-star freshman wide receiver, goes for over 100 yards.
Yeah,
against that Texas defense, Florida's offensive line and run game looked more like we thought it would look throughout the early stages of the season. And Billy Napier is kind of like a Palmetto bug; you just can't kill him. So, I like Texas A&M. And I like the team. I like the imprint that Elko is putting on that team in terms of toughness. And it starts obviously on the defensive side of the ball. But I'm very interested in Florida, Texas A&M, and you know, Arkansas with Petrino back in there and the potential for fireworks in Knoxville that you outlined for us. I mean, we got Oklahoma, Texas. I mean, how do you not talk about that game? John Mateer for Oklahoma. Is he going to play? Is he not going to play? But for me, I'd probably be more intrigued. I'm going to be more intrigued by Florida, Texas A&M than any of the others.
You know, A&M put a hammer on Florida last year in Gainesville. It was early in the season. Can't remember the score precisely. I want to say it was like 33-12 or something in that neighborhood. It was not pretty. It was one of those games where Florida, you know, Florida might have lost by 20 or whatever it was, but if you watch the game, they just physically got pounded. Could have been a lot worse. It was the same weekend that Alabama played Wisconsin, because I remember I went up to Wisconsin to cover that Alabama game in Madison, and then when I got out of that game, I hit a local pub, and sure enough, Florida and A&M were playing in Gainesville, and I got to watch about pretty much the second half of that game. A&M just mashed them on the line of scrimmage. Mm-hmm. That's where Florida's got to hold up if they're going to win on the road, is up front on both sides in that one.
Yeah, and, you know, we heard all offseason, kind of like Alabama's offensive line. That offensive line is going to be a strength for Florida. It's going to be a strength for Florida. Jaden Ball, those backs. And it really didn't show up until, I thought, the Texas game. And Lagway looked more like the guy he's supposed to be. Dallas Wilson helped with that. But Elko and A&M will challenge the toughness of the Florida Gators. And Florida right now still down a DL or two, but Tyreek Sapp, Gums, they've still got some guys. I think they can hang in up front enough. And then it comes down to, you know, which of these quarterbacks, Marcel Reed, DJ Lagway. I think that's what you're probably looking at.
Georgia at Auburn. Interesting game there. Gunnar Stockton going on the road, trying to get it done on the Plains. Auburn sitting at 3. Auburn still looking for their first SEC win. They're 0-2 in the league. And Georgia's only favored by 3.5. That shapes up to me, Travis, to be a low-scoring affair. I don't think there's going to be a ton of points scored in that one, but Auburn better come off the mat for Hugh quick.
They really better. This almost feels like maybe Freeze's last stand in some ways, because it just doesn't get easier schedule-wise. So, I mean, you're already 0-2 in the league and played the kind of games that you're talking about, played those type of grinders that Auburn needs to win right now because they just aren't dynamic enough offensively. I mean, Jackson Arnold is who he is at quarterback. You know, he's kind of in that Haynes King mold of so many quarterbacks in college football this year. It seems like Gunnar Stockton, Haynes King, Jackson Arnold, you know what I mean? A lot of the same kind of guys around the sport this year. So I'm with you. I think this will be kind of a Vince Dooley, Pat Dye special from the early 80s or something. And probably be a game that if you get to 20, you're going to win it.
Going to be a lot of fun to watch. That is going to do it for this edition of the Talking Tide podcast on the Ryer on YouTube channel. Be sure to tune back in on Sunday night when Travis and I recap the Crimson Tide's road game against the Missouri Tigers. Looking forward to talking to our viewers and listeners then. Until then, for Travis Ryer, I'm Chase Goodbread, sports columnist with the Tuscaloosa News. So long.